Did y'all see the little picture I sent you about with the two wine
Oh,
bottles?
the Walking Dead thing, yeah.
Yeah, so we go to the liquor store to fill up my growler this weekend, and they have a display of the Walking Dead wine. And I'm sitting here in the when we pass it, I'm like, yeah, that probably tastes like shit.
Yeah, it can't be that good.
Right? It's
I
just,
didn't know. I didn't know there was such a thing.
there is.
Walking
There,
I've seen it. Yeah, they have it at the Rouse's down here. I've seen
yeah,
it. I'm like, that can't be good.
I
Well,
don't know.
there's Game of Thrones wine, there's
Actually,
Walking Dead
that's what I've
wine.
seen. I take that back. I'm thinking of the Game of Thrones wine.
Okay, well, there's Walking
I
Dead.
mean, that has to be just the bottom of the barrel fucking shit that they throw a label on.
You would think, but it's drinkable. I'm drinking it right now. I will tell you, the reason I bought it, totally suckered into the gimmick, is that they have an app that you download, and then, the alternate reality, you basically hold your phone against the wine, and then it animates the labels right there. But it's like it's the animation on your real screen, if you're familiar with what AR is, right? So we bought it strictly for the novelty, right? And we're cooking with it. We're making some mushrooms, we're cooking some steaks or whatever, so I poured some glass. It's actually, look, it's drinkable. But the better part is definitely when you hold your phone up and then like Rick busts out of the bottle. There's a bottle with Rick on it and there's a bottle with a zombie on it. Yep, if you buy them one, you only get a certain part of the animation, but if you buy both of them, then they interact with each other. And so, of course, I had to buy Sucker Born every day. I bought both of them. Rick busts out of his bottle, and he's like, in Rick Grimes' voice, he's like, he's all like, you gotta watch, there's zombies around here, or something like that. And then the zombie suddenly busts out of his bottle, and they end up fighting a little bit on your counter, and then he ends up, they go kind of like behind the bottle, and Rick, like, you could tell that he just basically takes his axe and like smashes the zombie's head behind your bottle or whatever, and he walks out and he says something or whatever. It's a cool little scene. I don't know if there's multiple scenes or not. That's the only one I tried, but it's fun.
You know, that is classic Walking Dead. They sucker you into something that should be great, and people think it's great, and at the end, eh, it's drinkable.
Just like the off-season episodes of the Dome Patrol podcast.
Eh, we're drinkable.
What's up, Udat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk scale rating is, I'm going to go with a 1 crossing into a 2 before the end of the first segment. All right, because I'm drinking the Walking Dead wine. Is it me, or does it feel like it's been a while since our last episode?
2 weeks? Is that a while? Is that considered a while?
I guess. It's longer than 1 week. I would say, fortunately, I mean, clearly we didn't do an episode last week because there was literally nothing that happened between the episode, but now obviously enough has happened in the world of the Saints and the NFL that warrants the convening of the Dome Patrol Podcast Council.
That come. Oh, we have a council?
Council.com. That's us, yeah.
Why am I not aware of this council?
You weren't
I was
invited.
not told.
Oh, have you not heard?
Oh, shit.
Anyway, all right. There's several storylines I'm sure everybody by now is aware of, but we're not going to be doing our jobs if we didn't overanalyze each and every situation. Except for mock drafts, of course. We're never going to overlay analyze a mock draft. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I will go with a 2. It will probably creep up because I notice I'm less than halfway on the current drink I've got, so I'll probably get up and make one. I'm trying to keep it exciting in the off season.
That's
There's
right.
actually some chatter, some excitement. You know, free agency is
Yeah,
next
a
week.
little bit something. We'll get into it. But first, Damon, welcome to the show. How you feeling?
Bored.
So you've been watching The Walking Dead too.
right. So if that is how you feel, then maybe you can spice it up in our first segment, which is fake news.
Am I making this presentation directly to the American people? With the media present, which is an honor to have you this morning, because many of our nation's reporters and folks will not tell you the truth. Russia is a ruse. It's all fake news. It's all a ruse. Not true. It's all fake news. Russia is a ruse. Fake. It's all fake news. The news is fake because so much of the news is fake. One of the reasons I'm here.
All right, so I'm going to just lead us off with the Jimmy Graham conversation. Jason, Damon, you guys both said y'all have seen plenty of tweets about it. We know that he's not returning to Seattle. We know the Saints don't have a tight end. Period.
Wait, what about Flina? I'm not dead yet. I feel fine. I'm getting better.
I think I'll go for a catch later. No, you won't. Do you believe that Jimmy Graham could return and be Jimmy Graham that you knew as a Saint? Or is he just better than what we have?
He's better than what we have. His numbers would be better than what they are in Seattle because we would use him differently.
Right.
But he wouldn't. But he would not be the 2011 Jimmy Graham.
But is that possibly also that our offense has kind of evolved a bit and we're not...
It's several different variables, no doubt. No doubt about it. You're right, our offense has evolved with Kamara and Ingram. But Graham isn't the same guy either. You know, if you read the tweets and the... I don't read tweets, but the newspapers or articles about him and stuff. I mean, you know, they're critical of him, saying, you know, that he does have the alligator arms. You know, his hands aren't as sure they once were.
And again,
I think age and
yeah, I mean,
you know,
he's beaten, 31.
Right, age and beating has taken a toll on him, which it does on everybody. So I'm not bad mouthing him.
Do you subscribe to the theory that there's a good enough tight end around every corner that you don't need to chase him?
No.
You know what I mean?
Well, I would hope they wouldn't overpay him. He's not a $10, $11 million player. If he thinks he is, then I think he is sadly mistaken.
Well, I'm sure that's what he's going to be looking for.
Well, I'm sure.
Now, when he doesn't get it and he realizes, oh, shit, okay. I mean, coming back here,
when
you know,
he's not paid
like
a wide receiver.
No,
maybe
an old
wide receiver.
Yeah, right.
You remember that?
Right. I mean, if you could get him at a decent price, I'd be all for it. Now, I still think
what's a decent price?
Right, there you go. That's the question.
$6 million.
Okay. See,
$7 million.
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm the
cost
looking
that
for,
Kobe Fleener was.
Yes, 100%. That was. What's in my head? I'll pay him whatever we paid Fleener. Eight and a half.
If you pay him what you're paying Fleener,
then that's a steal just for the fact that he just walks on the field. I mean, at that point.
I don't think so.
Are you worried that we're going to run into that problem, though, where Drew Brees locks it? Remember, that was my whole problem with him was Drew Brees became a crutch, and which became ultimately a liability.
But also, Jimmy's not that guy anymore. And we have Michael Thomas, we have Kamara.
Well, Breeze had Marcus Colston.
Oh, he's an
older Marcus Colston.
Okay.
Right.
So you're So let's say, all right. So if he falls to you for six, even $7 million, you pay him. Do you pay eight?
Considering paying Fleener six or seven right now.
Without sitting here and looking at all the numbers deeply, I mean, yeah, I mean, in my little brain, eight would be the max you'd give him, which right. I think that's going to be the max anybody offers him. Now, you know, Loomis might think differently and not even come close to eight, but I think eight for Jimmy Graham for what he could be here.
Even if we do sign him, I mean, I think, you know, sign him or not, I think we're definitely getting a tight end in the draft somewhere.
I think it's a blocking tight end.
You're addressing the tight end position.
No, we already have Fleener on the roster, although we may cut him.
Well, all right. So here's the beauty of if you do end up getting Jimmy Graham and it works out, how fun would it be to lord that over Seattle fans? The fact that first of all they got totally screwed in the trade that they got Jimmy for. We got the first round pick and Max Unger. Who'd we get with that pick?
Well,
we fucked up the pick.
Shit.
But
that was before Ireland got here.
Yeah.
God damn it.
If Ireland was making that pick, we might have done all right.
All right. Well, we got Max Unger.
We definitely fucked up that pick.
What if we got Max Unger and we get Jimmy Graham back? So basically, we stole Max Unger. So it was a recon mission.
Look, he's been a rock for our line when we've had some issues here and there, but Unger's been fucking everything we've hoped.
And Jimmy, he fucked everything we hoped?
What? Who's he fucking?
Did I say fuck? I thought he said he's been everything we...
No, you said he's fucking everything.
Did I say fuck? Yeah. Oh, shit.
Because you're a foul-mouthed
Oh, sure. That's right? What we are. That's why we have the explicit label.
Yeah, all right. So the next thing is the Saints signed this safety from Carolina. What's his
championship
name? Right? That's, you would think,
no,
right?
No.
From Twitter.
No.
Actually, Twitter was measured. Twitter was a measured response.
Well, he's very...
He's a measured player. I mean,
he's
30 years old.
Average at best.
He's a decent safety, but we've got so many young guys in the secondary. He's a little veteran back there. He played at Ohio State. That seems to have worked out
more. We're basically Ohio State South. So Kurt Coleman is his name. Intercepting Drew Brees was his game a couple of years ago. That's his claim to fame.
He's got no shame.
This is getting lame.
Jeff calls his girlfriend a dame.
Yeah. I got nothing.
This whole thing is just fucking lame.
He already did that one.
Oh,
God, your jokes are always the same. Oh! All right. Anyway, so Kurt Coleman's coming in, which obviously means Kenny Vaccaro's out.
Yeah, definitely out.
Mm-hmm. And that was where...
We all kind of knew he wasn't coming back.
Do they not
want to pay him, or if he...
I mean, they must think he's going to get $10, $11 million, and they're clearly not going to pay that.
Right.
But, I mean, if you got him at 8, like we talked about before, right. I mean, that seems reasonable. Now, it's weird. I mean, I like Vaccaro. He played well, and then he had some issues. And there's also the fact that he got popped for 4 games, so then if that were to happen again, he would lose an entire season. So maybe they're not quite comfortable with that.
Wow, it jumped from 4 to 16?
Well, after you get your first 4-game suspension, the next one's...
A year? Yeah.
Yeah, next one's a year.
I guess that's reasonable.
So I think that had something to play. That's why they didn't try to extend him.
Well,
year.
He's already got how much for... Like how, so the Coleman we size for...
Coleman's 3 years, I think it was 18.
18 million, yeah. So you're talking about 6.5 in year one, a little less than... That what was Vaccaro like on schedule for?
Well, I don't know, whatever.
What do you mean?
What were we gonna have to pay for if we were gonna keep Vaccaro?
I mean, it seems like his market might be
right. That's what we're talking.
$8, $9, $10 million. So you basically get a guy who apparently, based on our scouting, could do what you needed out of that position just as fine or better.
For half the money.
For, well, a little, yeah, one third or two thirds of the money. Yeah. You know, 6.5.
Yeah, I guess. 10. Haven't seen him go. That's another
mistake.
No, he's 30. He's older.
Oh.
Vaccaro's 27. But maybe that's why Vaccaro's going to get a lot more money. They just.
Sure. He plays it. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they had to read the market and just assume, okay, he's out of our price range.
What do you say about what were you saying about jerseys, Jason?
Another jersey mistake I made. I bought, when I had the choice, I bought Vaccaro instead of Cam Jordan, and it goes, that was clearly a bad.
Wow. Yeah. The whole Dome Patrol podcast sucks at buying jerseys, except Damon, because he buys them after they retire.
Except the first jersey, the first Saints jersey that I ever bought was Drew Brees back in 2006. Well, that one's worked out.
That was the first one you ever bought?
Yeah, I never bought a jersey before that. Never had, like, Turley, Norman Hand.
Norman Hand. Who the fuck would even think about buying
a Norman Hand?
My dad.
Norman Hand.
Oh,
well, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
Wow.
He was in Hand with the St. Zeus pants.
Going deep on the roster.
Did you
Norman Hand.
Did you do the dance, too? With the...
He opened the freaking wind check.
Norman Hand. Ring of Honor.
All right. And then the last piece of fake news we got is obviously an update on the Brees and negotiations. Do you suspect that he will sign and they're just waiting until the bitter end for some odd
reason? It's a negotiation.
Yeah.
Loomis finally talked with his agent at the combine. They're going to get serious. I mean, they're going to get it done. Depending on what they want to do in free agency, if they know they're keeping Brees around, they're going to have to figure something.
Well. I mean, if there's one thing we've learned in Brew Agent.
Brew Agent. Put down the growler.
Am I a 5? No, if there's one thing we've learned in Drew Brees contract negotiations is you don't hear a peep out of either camp. Everything is speculation. Everything is talking heads. Nobody knows what's really going on. Both sides are very quiet about it. I mean, you think about it. Every time Drew Brees has had a contract negotiation with us, we think we know what's going on because we read into all the little bullshits, but it ain't never what it is reported out to be. And this is the most confident I've ever felt in any of them, right? Where, but all sides are saying, oh, no, we're making a deal.
This is the first time that Drew is saying that he wants to remain here and he's going to be here. So, look, I mean, he's going to get paid. He's going to get paid, I think, around, you know, between $22.5 to $25 million. And that's where he belongs.
Yeah.
Are you getting a two-year deal out of this?
I'm thinking, you never know, the way Loomis works with his ghost years and his weird, oh, this year voids, yeah. It sure doesn't count. I mean, it's all going to be the guarantee. I mean, I think they, if anything, they're going to haggle over the guaranteed portion.
Look, I wouldn't mind making 3 years, $75 million, $50 million guaranteed, which would be the first 2 years. So it means
3 years?
The third year that 25 doesn't go on your cap, but you'll still have to eat the $8
million signing bonus,
you know?
Yeah.
That's a good deal.
Yeah.
That way if he is still who we want him to be in that third year.
Yeah, he can stay.
He can play, but if he's not, it doesn't cost you anything to move on.
Mm-hmm.
And the cap keeps going up. I mean, it's up. They came out today that this year's cap is going to be $177 million, I believe.
And what was last year? $167 million, so almost $10 million?
Yeah, it's been going up pretty, pretty steady.
So here's the thing there about all that. And maybe next episode we do go into a bit more detail of the cap. With you remember the underthecap.com? We start exploring that a little bit and we start playing around with the numbers.
Oh, my God. If there's any classic Jeff, that's it. It's what? Over the cap.
No, I want to be under the cap, okay? I don't know about you.
Dear? Over?
Maybe that's your problem, is that you and Loomis are spending too much time over the cap.com. I'm looking at underthecap.com.
Well, it's the first time we're actually under the cap in a while.
But no, I mean, all right, so the Brees situation here is, do you realize we're sitting here talking about Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints? 2 years is... We got about two more seasons to get this right.
Yeah.
After that, like, nothing's guaranteed. Shit, one season. I mean, the dude's... Like, this is about the time... Well, Brett Favre was 41 when we beat him out of retirement. And sent him to retirement for good?
Yeah.
And Drew Brees is 39 right now?
39. He's a fresh 39.
So to Damon's point, you signed him to 3 years. That's 41. That's Brett Favre's last year. Brett Favre was an old man. I got to say, Drew Brees is a better 30. He comes across as a better 39, 40 than Brett Favre was at that age.
But Tom Brady's going to be 41 at the start of next season. Yeah.
I mean, it helps that you don't get hit as much as Brett Favre.
And did. I'm not thinking, you know. I'm not thinking they're going to get rid of Tom Brady.
No, they've just fucking traded away Handsome Jimmy.
You're right.
Yeah.
Oh, you think Drew Brees can play till he's 45?
I mean, look, he takes care of his fucking body.
But, look, hold on, okay. As far as him, yeah, he's in good shape, he takes care. But even, and look, age catches up with everybody. I don't care who you are. And you're not going to ask him the thing that he...
Not if you take an HGH.
He's not going to be asked to do the things he did in 2009 and 2011.
Or even fucking 2014, 15. Right. He ain't throwing for 5,000
yards. Because he can't. But Kamara, Ingram, running game.
Maybe.
Yes, you can extend. You can definitely, he can definitely play till, you know, for the next 2 years.
Oh, right. His whole career has taken a lot less beating than Favre did, which is why he's a younger 39.
Favre was a maniac.
Right.
Favre was a maniac. He was a tough guy.
So
that's the best part about it. Like, we're talking about their, you know, this year, I mean, he didn't throw as much, changed the game, but, man, that Minnesota game, when he had to, he put the fucking team on his back.
Well, right, because his arm was preserved because he didn't have to throw as much all season.
And he's still just that fucking good. Like, he can still do that.
And you want to bring, you want an intelligent guy.
And he can still make the throws when he has to. In crunch time, you, I would still trust him.
I will say, we talk about protection, not getting hit. That's the other part of fake news that we almost forgot about was Zach Strief. Jason, did you say, was it you that texted that he's retiring?
Yeah.
Or? It looks like that now he hasn't made it official, but the word is he's probably leaning towards retirement. Well, we figured with Ramczyk on, I mean, he either comes back as a backup or he retires. You know, and like he said, I mean, he said, look, it's a lot of work, not just physical shape, but mentally get ready for a season, and whether he's ready for that or not, I mean, God, he's played
12 seasons.
Yeah. Crazy to think, an old seventh-round pick, tackle eligible, has lasted this long. Quite the career for him.
And I'll tell you what, throughout our whole podcast over the years, well, we attacked him, and then we celebrated him. And I think in the long run, maybe he didn't deserve the attacks we gave him when you really look back on his career.
All right. Look, I mean, he only, you know, if he comes back, he has a base salary of $1.1 million. He has a roster bonus of 2.8. You know, so what's that, $3.9 million? And they had the workout bonus of 100. So that's $4 million. I'd come back for $4 million. I'd come back. Yeah.
I'd be backup for $4 million. I don't care if I start for 12 years.
Right. I'd come back for $4 million. I mean, you can always, you know, you never know when you might.
Be a player coach.
Right. Well, and also he'd be we've talked about that we're probably going to lose Calamente. So I would like Streif to come back, at least for a stopgap. You know, I think if you put him in there, he wouldn't be the most horrible thing. So I hope he comes back.
I hope he comes back if he's effective as a player coach. If he's not effective as a player coach, I'd bring him on as a coach if he's a coach. I don't know you don't know if he's a
right. Well, everybody doesn't want to do that, right?
Right. But if that's I like Zach Strief to the point where if he wanted to coach and he was a good coach, I would 100% hire him as an O-lineman coach. I mean, why not, right? Especially if he's knows the Sean Payton system, works well with everybody. Obviously, they have tremendous respect for him. Drew Brees, he's been with him since the beginning. You keep him in the building. I think, Damon, you had alluded to that with other players in the past, right? Some people you just want to keep in the building. I don't care what it takes. You keep Zach Strief in the building.
Yeah, no doubt. I think he would definitely be an asset if he can transition to that.
And you keep him in the city, too. Let's say he doesn't stay in the building, or if he does or doesn't, and he does retire. You guys, I mean, you want Zach Strief just to stay a New Orleanian, right? I mean,
he's got his investment in the beer company.
Oh, yeah, I think he's a New Orleanian.
You know, I mean, he's entrenched here. He's not going
anywhere. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. He's a Ring of Honor potential?
Nope. Thank you.
Yeah, no, not quite.
Is he Hall of Fame potential? Saints Hall of
no.
Fame.
Not Saints Hall of Fame?
Oh,
they definitely put him in there.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't put the guy in the fucking NFL Hall of Fame, no. Anyway, all right, let's move into NFL Reach Around. The main thing we got here is the Jarvis Landry thing. Not that the Saints are – we're not trying to talk about the Saints getting Jarvis Landry. They've made it abundantly clear they're not interested in him. But because he's an LSU, former LSU player, high school player, I will at least say it would be a lot cooler if they did get him.
Yeah, but that – well, look, no. I was thinking about it, and Jimmy the lawyer – always spits it right, like with the cost it would take to get him in terms of signing into a contract and having to give up picks.
And right.
The capital is too much when you have a guy, now granted last year, I don't know what the fuck happened to Snead, he sucked, but the two prior years to that, you got 80% of the production at 15% of the cost of Jarvis Landry. So it's worth trying, hoping that Snead was just, I don't know what the fuck happened last year, just toss it out.
They might.
Goes back to what he's before, then trading all this capital and paying all this money to get Jarvis.
Right.
All right, so that's going to lead us into Look at Him Tweets. Okay, so the first tweet says, which I think there are a lot of tweets about Jimmy. Do you want me to just skip the Jimmy Graham tweets? I think we covered them, Nick.
I think we kind of covered it, yeah.
James, yeah, I guess, Baber, unless you want
Dalton
to mention
Belgard. Dalton Belgard said bring back Jimmy, so we know where he stands. James Tabor wanted to know if we would bring back Jimmy, so I think we all said for the right price. We'd be, fuck it, why not? Not that we're like, ooh, Jimmy Graham, yeah, get it back! No, it's more, you want to beat Fleener's price? Sure. another one, who that fits, do we want Jimmy back? He says, I think it put our offense over the top, but how much would it cost, man? We talked about
that. What it came down, and look, it would clearly struggled on third downs
third exactly
year.
Yep,
you know, just a couple of passes to Jimmy up the
yep seat. that's why I want him. If we could, my God, if we could bring our third down numbers up to what they have been every year but last year. Holy shit. I mean, you know, then maybe Minnesota doesn't get a chance. Maybe we don't kick a field goal. You know, we run the clock down in that playoff game. You know, remember, if you remember, that's why we had to kick the field goal, and they had a lot of time left on the clock, you know, a minute something. So, yeah, for the third down alone, I think Jimmy would be an asset to this team.
All right. And then, literally every tweet we got, Shauna Brissano, everybody was tweeting, it's all about Jimmy. Everybody wants to know about, what do we think about Jimmy? What do we think about Jimmy? I think we made it clear what we think about Jimmy. And then one extra thing that Nick NRG did mention in his case /against Jimmy, which seems like it's pretty much on par with what we've discussed. For the right price, bring him back, but don't overpay. Nick did mention that he'd be more concerned about addressing a rusher opposite of Cam Jordan, or a Cam or a corner to replace Delvin Bro.
Well, which is what I want, but is there any of that out in the market?
We looked at it last time we recorded, and tight end, it's, if you don't get Jimmy, you might as well just wait for the draft.
Well, and I also figured, there's got to be talented guys in the draft that we could bring into the system and make it work. That's why I just figured we would draft a tight end regardless, even if we did sign Jimmy. I think so.
Damon, do you have your microphone held up to a bull's nose?
No, why?
He's breathing heavy.
Hey, Fatty, why don't you go to the bathroom so you catch your breath?
No, I'm catching it.
Well, what do we do with Delvin Bro?
Well, that's what Nick was saying, is he's more concerned with the pass rusher opposite Cam and a corner to replace Delvin Bro, because Nick says he doesn't see a scenario where we bring him back.
I can't imagine with Bro being hurt, it's not like I can't imagine there's a huge market for a long term deal. Like if you could bring Bro back on a 1 year, I don't know, $2 million deal, it seems like it would be worth it, and hope that he could go back to his last year form, at least take a chance on him. And if it works out, you got a pretty solid set of corners. At least it's a 1 year holdover until, if he gets expensive, then let him go and find somebody else.
All right. Right. So you take best on the board at that point, and you got a few positions that you can take from. And DB isn't. I can't believe we're saying that we're fine at
we have some talent back there, but you can never have too many.
You do need to bright. You need to bring some bodies in. You think about Delvin Bro and Marshall and Lattimore would be nice, but with Delvin out.
Regardless of what happens free agency, I think they definitely draft at least one cornerback. I think they draft all offensive linemen, they draft the cornerback.
They draft a defensive end.
Receiver, defensive end, yeah. We still got holes.
Yeah, we have lots of holes in depth, no doubt about it.
Well, if you look at Damon's mock draft version 7.3.
The one that says, I don't give a fuck?
They all do.
I'm wrong. That's what it says.
All right. So that's enough for looking at the tweets. Let's move into hypotheticals.
I had $1 million,
if I had $1 million,
well, I'd buy you a house.
I would buy you a house.
All right, so this one is still along the lines of football terms, and it comes down to, let's discuss, would you rather be the star player on a losing team, a perennial loser, star player, or would you rather ride the bench on a team that wins multiple championships?
Kind of going on the lines of the last hypothetical, is like money not an option.
Give me a little more what you mean by that.
Well, I mean, because if you're a star player on a bad team, even though you're a bad team and you're a star player, you're going to make a lot of money, whereas if you're a bench guy, you're making league minimum.
So let's go down both avenues. We'll first go down the avenue of, surely you're the star player on a bad team, you're making the money. So let's go down that, and then once we go far enough down that road, I'm going to back us up, and then we're going to go to where money doesn't.
In that case, I want to make my money. I said it last week, I'll say it again. In that case, if money matters, I want to make my money. I'd be the best player on the Cleveland Browns. $8 million a year, fine.
Go 0-16.
I'll be Joe Thomas.
You win 3 games in 3 years. As long as you're making $20 million a year.
Yes, I'll be Joe Thomas. If money factors in, I mean, I'm sorry, I have to.
Damon?
I mean, that does make a lot of sense. I mean, you know, all things being equal, money-wise, you know, I mean, who is, you know, I'm trying to think of some backups, you know. Chase Daniels has made a lot of money being backup.
He got a Super Bowl. He got one, I say decent sized contract, but he got one contract that paid him enough.
Right, you know. Yeah. And you're sitting back there doing practice and no one hits you. You wake up fine the next day. You're not hurting. You're not, you know, the wear and tear on your body.
So, what you're almost
like Matt Flynn.
Hold on,
Matt Flynn for Green Bay got the back.
Rodgers. Matt Flynn took him to the bank.
You know, and then he got one big contract.
In Seattle, right?
Signed with
San Francisco or Seattle?
No, yeah, it was Seattle. Russell Wilson.
Right, Russell Wilson came along.
Yeah, so he got the backup Rodgers, got a Super Bowl, and then.
So, but wait, Damon, what you're making the case for, though, is the player who rides the bench on a winning team. Like, I'll make, look, I don't have to make $20 million, but give me $10
million. Well, whatever they make, right.
To be the guy who, like you said.
That's an expensive backup. What do you think you are, a Bill Mickey Loomis signing?
Yes.
Yeah, you're not making.
Exactly. Oh, did I forget to mention? You play for the Saints.
Oh, but goodness. I mean, you sit back there, you make more money than anybody listening to us is going to make in a lifetime, you know. You can probably do it longer also. You know, you can, your career.
Jason.
It ended at 35. And so now, okay, so you last to your 38, right, to 40. So you make a couple extra billion. And then you retire and you're healthy and you're not worrying about CTE or, not that I would worry about that anyway. And you're on a winning team. Could that Lou? You mentioned the Cleveland Browns. Fuck me. I mean, could you imagine?
Yeah, losing that has to be,
you know. But you know what? Archie, God bless him. You know, Archie was the best player on a terrible team.
Always go back to Archie.
You know, the Saints were a horrible team in the 70s and early 80s.
Okay,
it is a mental grind to get ready for a season knowing, like, man, I played for fucking Cleveland.
Fucking shit. I'm going to get my ass beat. People are going to boo me. But Archie made a hell of a career, you know, being that best player on a bad team.
Here's the thing. If you are the best player on the bad team, let's say, Jason, you're playing for $10 million a year. You only play for 5 years because, A, you're on a bad team, and you end up over time getting synonymous with badness. I mean, you're not good enough to make the team better, so your value goes down. You're just a good player, And so you maxed out your
– hold on. Basketball where one guy makes
shut up. Shut up. Your total year is $50 million. That's your total NFL career. You get five years out of that. $10 million a year average. You end up with $50 million for playing in the NFL in that scenario because you're a good player, the best player, on a bad team. No matter what, you get $50 million out of that. If you're in like what Damon was describing, you end up being, say, a backup who's good enough to draw contracts and establish longevity. You maybe $4 million a year, and you play for 13.
No, that's the problem. A backup is not making $4 million a year. He's not. That's where you're.
All right. How much is the backup? How much is the backup?
I mean, if a backup who doesn't play is making under $1 million. A guy who does not play is probably making under $1 million a year.
Under $1 million a year.
Oh, hold on, we're gonna find out.
I mean, a league minimum is probably like $500,000 or $600,000.
All right, and how many years? How many years does he play? How many years does he play?
Well, that's now you're
Chase Daniel kind of guy.
Well, like your minimum goes up as you get more years in the league, but you still under. You might be at $950,000 a year.
So
let's say you play 15
nickel
years,
and dime it, $1 million a year.
Okay, well, 15 years.
15 you know, years.
Maxing out at $1 million a year, but you got to remember those first few years in the league, you're making $500,000. So you might make $13 million in your career.
Okay,
over
13 million.
Jason, have you ever made $500,000 a year?
No, I haven't.
Poof.
So,
hold on. If he
see,
Chase
that's
Daniel.
The key is we're sitting here having a conversation. Like, if you're looking at it from who you are today, I would take $13 million a year. I mean, I would take a $13 million career.
$13 million years.
From where I am today, you would. But if you are looking at it from, like, you're one of these two. You choose which one you want to be. Do you want to be $50 million career, but you are a joke, a laughingstock?
You are really
quarterback
a
of the Cleveland Browns.
Your team is a laughingstock.
Jason,
fuck about
you won three games in your entire career.
Hey, you know what else I did? You know what else I did? I made $50 million.
Right. Versus you're a guy who got
$13 million as a backup. You're known as a career backup. You were never good enough.
Hold on. The first scenario, you don't care what your reputation is. This second scenario, you do care what your reputation is.
Okay, fine. I was a great player. I got stuck in a bad situation. I made a shit ton of money. Whereas you're a backup, you were never good enough to start. You're a career backup. You made an okay money. You had a nice living. That's fine. Nothing wrong with that. Give me the $50 million. Sorry.
I mean, 50 compared to $13 million is.
and I was good enough to actually play. You're riding the fucking bench.
Hold on a minute. Everybody's got a role. You disrespect the guys who ride the bench, but those guys play
in
a very
important
role. In this conversation,
yes. Yeah, that's part of the
argument. Don't disrespect me. I'm playing for 15 years. This is my livelihood, okay? This is what I got.
Don't disrespect
me because you know what? If I don't fucking do what I do, then you don't have your five-year career, asshole.
Yeah, I have a 10-year career because I don't have to rely on a piece of shit like you that's scraping by.
Yeah, well, if you weren't such a fucking egotistical asshole, maybe our team could have won more games. But no, it's all about you and your $50 million. Maybe if you didn't take such a big piece of the
fucking
pie, we could have got better players that could have actually built a team around.
Well, how about this? When I invite you over for dinner, I'm going to have a nice outdoor patio and a big-ass pool and a giant yard. What are you going to have? A little cottage.
I'm going to have $13 million.
No, government's taking half.
All right, I'm going to have $6.5 million.
Over 13 years? Yeah.
And you're going to have 25.
What kind of wife do you have?
The one who loves me not for my money, whereas yours only wants you for your money. And she's probably sleeping. And you know what? She's sleeping with all the other guys on the team.
Pull that mackerel.
Wow. Hey, you know, I'm still on my
hashtag
first year. How about you? I chose wisely.
With I'm sorry, what are you talking about?
I don't know anymore.
We
went off the rails.
That's what's great about hypotheticals.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Looking at Chase Daniels. Came into the league in 2013. Oh, no. Since 2013.
Are you going to bore us with facts?
Yes.
All right. Go ahead.
Say he was bored.
Since 2013, Chase Daniels has made, how much do you think he's made? Over 5 years.
Does that count? That probably does count the some of the Kansas City.
I'm going to say in 5 years,
City,
he's made
$15 million.
$22.9 million.
Jesus.
Yeah, I'm going to be Jason's backup.
Well, hold on, Now, a backup quarterback.
No. You're the guy. I'm your backup. Oh, wait, no, I'm not your backup because I have championship rings. You don't. Remember that?
Yeah, because you got to hide behind a goat.
I don't care. I got $22 million to sit on the bench. You actually had to work for your money.
Hey, after my 5 years with Cleveland, I'll go sign with New England and win the title. How about that?
No, that's not. No, you're changing the parameters of the question.
I got $50 million. I can afford to change my parameters.
That was a fun segment. I love this segment.
You both made good points, you know. And again, okay, I go back to Archie because those are the stories I know. And Archie was the highest paid player in the NFL. Archie Manning was making more than Terry Bradshaw in the 70s, okay? And Archie even tells the story every time that he sees Bradshaw, Bradshaw will bring that up, you know, that and Bradshaw has 4 Super Bowl rings. And obviously Archie made a hell of a career, you know. But without it's not about – you take the money aspect out of it, and it's your self-worth, okay? So let's say the money's equal. You said you were going to get back, you know, backtrack it back to this. So let's say the money's equal, you know. You're playing in the 70s or whatever before free agency and all that. Okay, so then what is the answer? You know, because y'all making it about money, which is definitely interesting, and I think 90% of us would say, look, we have to make the money, you know. If we can do more for our family, we can do more for charities, we can do, you know, for our children. So in that respect, you'd have to say, you know, yeah, then I'm going to go for the money. But take the money out of it. Make it all equal. You'd still rather be the backup, never go on the field. Or being a starter on Cleveland, it, you know, we don't understand because we've never been put in those situations. I mean, you know, it has to be miserable. And so I think, you know. I mean, I might have cheated there, but all things being equal, sure, I'll go sit behind Brett Favre, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning. I'll sit behind them, and you know, and you can still pull down a lot of pussy being the backup. You know, you can face the TV, and
that's what he's looking for.
You know, all right.
So let's get a quick update from the Pelican Plug.
You gonna win.
Yeah. Yeah, pass the ball, final casting call. First of all, verbal basketball. Off the glass, smash your jaw. Too fast for y'all. You might take a...
Yeah, no plunges where we're going. They're just my balls. It didn't quite work, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
No, they are definitely not plunging. It's crazy. It's crazy. They have now won 8 in a row.
Insane.
The Pelicans. Anthony Davis has gone monkey poo on the rest of the league. He averaged 30... almost 36 points in the month. So, I mean, Boogie went down. They lost a few games immediately, and then Davis said, fuck this. And Davis has been all world. They've won 8 in a row. They're now they're currently the 4th seed in the West.
4? That is.
It's crazy.
That's nice.
Because I thought...
Now, we have 2 more wins. Can't we move up more?
There was a stretch where, like, we didn't play for 4 games, and we went down in the standings and went back up in the standings without even playing a game. That's right. How, like, the teams 3 through, like, 10 are separated by, like, 3 games. Before he got hurt, I was like, shit, they might grab that 3 seed. And then when he got hurt, I was like, well, fuck, the season's over.
Right.
But now, I mean, they're right fucking there. Like, why couldn't they grab the fuck? The team has averaged, like, over 115 points a game.
So what's happened? Is it addition by subtraction? You know, being able to focus on Davis? What's going on?
I think it does space, you know, having 2 big guys kind of contracts the floor a little bit, so this kind of spacing out. But I mean, last night, so Mirotić and Cheick Diallo combined for 30-20, so that basically replicated Boogie's production. This team just got close and said, fuck it, we're not.
Okay, I mean, is Gentry's system kicking in? I mean, you know,
I mean, we still do the same, but like the problem is, Etuan Moore has been struggling with his shot. Darius Miller has been struggling with his shot. It's just Davis has been that good, and Holiday has been right behind him. They've stepped up their game. Our defense has gotten a little better. I'm not exactly sure why, and they just, I don't know, man, they seem like they're locked in. It's crazy. There's some of these wins, and like they were down by 17 points to a game. Like we went the last game we went to on a Friday night. They were down 17 second quarter. I'm like, oh shit, and they came back and won. I mean, they were down 15 points to the Spurs on the road. The Spurs team had only lost 6 games in that building all year. And came back, but it's time. You know, football season's over. It's time for people to pack the arena because they're winning.
Amen. Amen.
They're winning.
No doubt about that.
That, I'm assuming, is going to lead us to pretty much the end of the show. I'm going to let you guys choose between yourselves. Are we going to do final thoughts, or are we going to do Tiger Week?
I think our final thoughts can incorporate Tiger Week.
All right. How about, Jason, your final thought be Tiger Week. Damon, you do something that's worth talking about, and then I'll throw something in there.
Hold on. I was actually going to let Damon discuss Tiger in his final thoughts, and I might rebuttal. My quick thing, I'm going to Vegas this weekend. I am going to be putting a bet down on the Saints to win the Super Bowl. They are currently at 20-1 odds.
My bad.
The last time I did this was in 2009, and we all know what happened.
How much did you put down?
Did you really?
Yeah.
How much did you put down?
So I've got 100. Adam's got 100. Todd's got 100.
If I give you 100, would you put me down 100?
I'll include you too. I'm accumulating. Whoever wants to go win with me, I'm adding it all up.
Anybody have any thoughts about Tiger Woods? I know y'all were talking about Tiger Week last week. Apparently he made some cut.
He made the cut, and he finished 14th.
Damon, you say that's sad. Jason, you say that's a win, right?
I say it's encouraging. It's his best finish in however many years. He's been steadily progressing. I mean, you got to remember, he hadn't played full season in 4 years.
I mean, right. Is at the point, with all due respect, I mean, are you at the point where, like, Jason, are you arguing that, like...
No, I know you're going to make a terrible analogy. Let me stop you, and let me just say this. So, clearly, Tiger is never going to be the dominant Tiger that destroyed everybody that he once was. Okay? But he is... Tiger will win again. I mean, Phil Mickelson, at 47 years old, just won WGC down in Mexico. And Tiger is only 41.
He's 42. Tiger's 42.
Okay, 42. So, but he's still got 5 years on him. But Tiger has progressed. He's getting his body back in shape. He's hitting it as far as these guys. He's dialing it in. I mean, look, he's still either the or the second greatest golfer ever.
No, 100%. No one's not saying.
I still think he's gonna win this year.
You know,
he's gonna win a major.
I said he's going to win this year. I still think he will win another major before his career is over.
You know, okay, so Phil, when did Phil, he won it this week, and Tiger played the week before. Did Tiger not play this week?
No, he didn't qualify.
What you're saying is it's not out of the realm of possibility.
He's not even going to be competitive. He's not even going to be competitive.
He's the most dominant athlete on the planet.
Yes.
I want to help Jason with this argument so bad, but I can't now because he fucking turned on me.
Well, Jason, no one's arguing that Tiger Woods wasn't one of the most exciting
and
dominant golfers of all time.
He's healthy now.
How's his short game?
His short game has been pretty solid. He's getting back to the routine of playing on tour and playing a bunch of events. That's why he's playing this week and he's playing next week. Like, Tiger rarely used to play back-to-back weeks in his prime. Now he's playing more events to get back in golf shape.
He's coming. He's on his way.
To get better, to lead up to the Masters. I'm telling you.
He's making it. He's going to do it.
I can't wait till the show after he plays.
Oh, God. It's going to be all Tiger. All the time.
It's going to be glorious.
But I was a Tiger. I'm going to for the show. All right, that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast, and if you don't listen to us on your podcast app, there is the old-fashioned way of listening to our show on your computer, Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, Vaccaro Jersey donkeys.
Good night, Who Dat Nation.